Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
You guys can hit us with these voicemails. We appreciate them. You're going to hear us interview Jason Alexander in a second, but I didn't get this voicemail on the show. Here is voicemail number one.
Hey, Bobby. Morning, studio. Hey, I'm excited for your interview with Jason Alexander. Back in the late 90s, I was working a corporate gig, and we had Jason Alexander as one of our MCs, and I got to work with him for a few days, and he's a complete riot. So much fun. He came out and did an interview with one of our execs in like a nude bodysuit, and just the crowd went crazy. But looking forward to the show, and I'll listen to it soon. Thanks.
All right, thank you. It's going to happen in just a minute. You can also call our number 877-77-BOBBY. Leave voicemail. Here's Evan in South Dakota.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Hargrave. She works really hard, and I think she's up for teacher of the state. So I'm really proud of her, and I just wanted to make sure that she gets some recognition. And I would also like to shout out my little brother and sister teacher, Mrs. Coon. Say hi to Mrs. Coon.
Hi.
To Miss Bobby, I mean. Bye, love the show.
All right, thanks, Evan. And shout out to Mrs. Hargraves. Just rocking it over there. All right, cool. Got those. Wanted to make sure I got those on. Mike D has some movie news. You can check out Mike D's podcast, by the way, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. And now time for the Movie Minute.
And now Movie Mike's Movie Minute.
Yeah, so because of the coronavirus, Warner Brothers is putting out the new Scooby-Doo movie directly to streaming.
And how do you feel about that?
I think it's awesome because I usually, as an adult, go to see kids' movies by myself, and I feel kind of creepy, so now I can just watch it at home.
Which you should.
Yeah.
That's a right feeling. But now, yeah, Scoob, right?
Scoob, yep. It'll be on streaming today at like 5 p.m. Central.
Amy, will you watch Scoob? Hey, Scoob!
I'm sure I will with the kids. Like, it sounds amazing. Can't wait.
No, but you said that like you were just saying words. Like, you're like, it sounds amazing. Can't wait.
Like a robot.
No, I mean, yeah. Getting it out early sounds amazing. Can't wait to watch it with my kids. I mean, I'm not that into it, but I'm sure my kids will be.
Yeah.
So can't wait to have something new to watch with them. Because every time the weekend rolls around, they're like, what movie can we watch? And they don't like watching movies that they've already seen. So this is great. Can't wait.
Thanks for the info, Mike.
There you go.
Can't wait to watch it. All right. All right, there it is. Thank you.
And that was Movie Mike's Movie Minute.
Well, a few of you guys sent me a story that just kind of irritated the crap out of me. Because when I'm trying to focus on someone, I take my phone and I put it upside down. And I'm doing it not so the people don't see what's on my phone, because I don't give a crap about that. But I'm doing it so I'm not looking at my phone. So at dinner, at lunch, if we're in a work situation where I don't need to be distracted by my phone, I put it face down because I have notifications that are coming up all the time. Maybe a news site that I follow or a text or an email. It's just always blip, blip, blip. So I turn it upside down so I am not bothered. And then the story, the seemingly innocent phone habit that can be a sign your partner's cheating on you. This psychologist suggests putting your phone face down as a red flag, particularly if it's someone you're in a relationship with. Like, what do you think? I'm cheating on somebody over here? I keep my phone down. Amy, if your husband had his phone down, what would you think?
No, I would. I don't. My brain wouldn't go there. I would assume. I think that's a really good tip of yours to flip it down so you don't get distracted. I would either think that's just how he laid his phone down.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would think that. That seems extremely jumping to the negative real quick.
Yeah, me too. And I was with Caitlin whenever I saw that story, and I was like, hey. In case this gets put in your mailbox somehow or it pops up on your feed, this is why I put my phone down, so I don't look at it. So, anyway, if anyone did that, that's the story right there. Hey, remember, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Sticking to it. Who is
that? That's my story. That's my
story.
And it's, I ain't got a witness and I can't prove it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Is that Sawyer Brown?
Eddie.
Oh, do you know who it is?
You know better. Come on, Eddie.
You
can do it.
That's my story.
Is it a band?
It's a country band.
Make your guesses.
It's totally a band.
Make your guesses.
Confederate Railroad.
Lone Star?
Make your guesses.
Diamond Rio.
Oh, Shenandoah?
That's a good guess.
Are you guys just yelling every 90s?
No.
That's no, my story. Okay, Alabama.
If you were to bet a day's worth of wages on it.
Oh my gosh.
What? I wouldn't want to play.
I'm not playing the game.
Why not?
Because I don't know
during
it.
During Corona.
It's a solo artist.
Let's see.
Oh. Leroy Parnell.
Mm-mm. Who do you think it is?
That's my story.
I think I'm on a road here.
Colin Ray.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, Colin Ray, really? Would have never guessed that.
Me either.
Ever. I'd have lost all my money.
A day's wages? That's like old school, like Wild West bets. I bet you a day's wages and one cow. One.
And then when you lose, you throw the coins at him.
And then you, as you're reaching to get the coins, you pull, pow, and you shoot him.
And you get your money back and run.
Amy said there was a PSA for the health department she wanted to read. You want to read that out for us there?
Yeah. Well, so obviously we're staying at home to stop the spread of coronavirus, but it doesn't mean you should like turn into a slob. So the health department was saying, even at home, you need to take a shower every day or every other day.
You need
to brush your teeth at least twice a day. Make sure you take care of your hands, your nails, your feet, and hair cleaning because that's essential to protect against diseases. And change your underwear at least every 2 days.
Wow, they say 2 days? How often do you change your underwear, Lunchbox?
Oh, I mean, usually every day, but sometimes I'll wear the same underwear twice in a row.
But apparently that's okay.
Yeah, like I got the same underwear on today that I did yesterday.
Great.
No, it's not okay. I don't care what the health department is saying.
Now you're an expert, Facebook. Okay.
No,
Amy's one of those people on Facebook that knows all about Corona.
First of all, I'm definitely not. This has nothing to do with coronavirus. I would suggest that you try to change your underwear every day if you can. Yeah.
Well, I try, but it just doesn't happen.
And the thing is, if you can't, I understand that. But Lunchbox can.
No, sometimes I just don't have time. Like it's the underwear laying by the bed when I wake up, so I just put it on and then I'm busy all day.
Doing what?
Gross.
I work, taking care of the kids, sometimes got to take a nap, things like that.
How often do you brush your teeth?
But you like run and sweat.
Well, there are days that I'll wake up and I'll get so busy that it'll be 4 o'clock. I'll be like, man, I never brushed my teeth. I just totally forgot.
I prioritize different things than he does.
No, it's just you have a lot more free time.
That's funny.
But also, you don't live alone. You have a wife. So is she ever grossed out by your lack of hygiene?
Well, I mean, she doesn't. I mean, it's not like my underwear stinks or anything. It's not. It's just underwear. So she's not.
But you don't brush your teeth. It's your face.
Every once in a while. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's 4 o'clock. I'm like, oh, man, I haven't brushed my teeth today. I'll just wait till after dinner.
Man, I hop out of bed and it's like right to the cell phone and then right to the toothbrush. Those are my priorities there. Again, we all have different priorities.
Yeah, I go right to the dirty underwear and right to the breakfast.
Amy, what if you turn the underwear inside out?
Yeah. Then you can wear it 4 days in a row. Because you go inside out and then flip it right side out and then inside out again.
Then backward. Okay. Then you can wear it eight.
Good point.
Sure, I guess. I mean, for me, I just feel like that's not what I'm going to do. I guess if you have to, you have to. But
yeah. All right, we're done here. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Today's show, it's a good one, so we're going to get off and let you guys hear it. All right, thank you, guys, and we'll see you. Well, you're here to the show, but we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones. Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
I got a couple segments we're going to do, and it's something I call the Unbelievable News here to start the show, which, by the way, the great thing about today is, speaking of unbelievable news, Jason Alexander, George Costanza from Seinfeld, is going to be on the show today. Also, Runaway June, they're going to come on and actually talk about, well, I don't want to break the news, but something pretty big happening there. My girlfriend's going to be on, talk about her living situation. We got the dance parties. A lot of unbelievable stuff here. But let's do the unbelievable news now. Dun, dun, dun. Number one. Two people in Australia met on Tinder, went on a first date. The guy ate a peanut butter sandwich beforehand. The woman was allergic to peanuts. They kissed. She ended up in the emergency room.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. They kissed on the first date. No. But isn't that crazy? Like, that allergic to peanuts? Right?
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Thank you, Amy.
welcome.
Unbelievable news. A woman is getting backlash after planning to marry her 20-year-old stepson.
Yikes. Just a little bit of backlash?
Well, here we go. Here we go. I'll read you some more. A 35-year-old social media influencer, Marina Balmasheva, who rose to fame in her country for documenting her weight loss adventure, is getting a lot of backlash after announcing her upcoming marriage to the 20-year-old stepson that she helped raise for 10 years. Wow.
Crazy.
That is no, it's not crazy. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then a story I was going to do yesterday, but I forgot. His name's Logan 30-Acre. He's a YouTube star. He's that guy that was bidding all the money on the Tom Brady auction because they've been doing the all-in challenge where these celebrities are offering tons of money and all the money goes right to the COVID-19 charities. And somebody had bid so much money on the Tom Brady auction, people thought it was fake. But this YouTuber paid $800,000 for the Tom Brady package. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
He said he had prepared to go a couple million if needed to be. He's a longtime football fan. 30-Acre, whose cartoon Jeffrey is seen by 8.61 million subscribers on the Super Mario Logan channel, will receive tickets to Tom Brady's Buccaneers home opener and the game-worn jersey and cleats, and then he'll also have the choice of dinner or a private workout with Tom Brady. And he paid $800,000 for it. What do you think about that?
Wait, well, it's pretty unbelievable, but what would you choose, dinner or a workout?
Well, I think I would choose... It depends on what the workout was. If it was his real workout that he's doing, getting ready as a... I would choose the workout because that's something you get to hang with Tom Brady and you never get to do that again. If it was just like, hey, we're going to work out together, I can work out with Eddie. Eddie doesn't work out, but I can work out with Eddie.
Yeah.
I would choose the workout if it was like his quarterback workout, you know?
Okay.
What would you choose?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd probably do that the workout because we'd be doing something and talking.
Yeah.
Like at dinner, we could sit there and things can get awkward, but...
What do you mean awkward? Not if you don't order the most expensive thing off the menu. Relax over there, Amy. You know?
Okay.
Dinner would be more talk, though, I would think. Way more talk.
Yeah, I know, but you could talk and get a professional athlete workout and say that you did that. I just feel like at dinner, let's be real. Tom Brady probably doesn't want me to go and do that anyways.
Yeah, but for $800,000. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, true.
That's the unbelievable news. Wasn't it unbelievable?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
Pretty
thank you. Did I say good morning? Did I say morning studio?
You did not.
I did not? Okay. Morning studio.
Morning.
Thank you. National Graduation Day is Sunday. Congrats to the class of 2020. iHeartRadio's commencement speeches for the class of 2020 podcast is out today. So Bill and Melinda Gates, Rita Wilson, Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, John Legend, DJ Khaled, I Did One, Coach K. And so there are a lot. So check it out. Commencement speeches for the class of 2020. It's a new podcast up. A lot of people doing speeches. Here's the game, Amy. I'll run through these with you real quick. I'll give you the... Country artist, tell me where they went to college, okay?
Okay.
Carrie Underwood. You have three options here. Oklahoma Baptist University, Northeastern State University, or Langston University?
Oklahoma Baptist?
Incorrect. She went to Northeastern State University. All right, what about Garth Brooks? Do you know this off the top of your head?
No.
Eddie, do you?
Ugh, it's one of the two big ones. I mean, you want me to guess?
Yeah.
OU.
No, he went to Oklahoma State. You got to think
Dang
of that
it.
Orange. Yeah.
50-50.
Garth Brooks received his master's degree from Oklahoma State in 2011. He had previously earned an advertising degree from the university in 1985. He also ran track there.
Oh.
Yeah. Trisha Yearwood, did she go to Georgia State, Lipscomb, or Belmont?
Georgia.
Nope. She went to Belmont in Nashville.
No. Stop.
Nope.
Yes, I knew that. I spoke too soon. She's a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan.
But that wasn't even an option on the list, though. I said Georgia State, not the same thing as Georgia.
Oh, well. How am I supposed to know that?
One more. But you missed it. Anyway, one more. George Strait. Did he go to Texas State, the University of Texas, or Texas Tech?
Texas State.
Yeah, he went to Texas State, as known as Southwest then, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Graduate from in 1979 in a science degree in agriculture. There you go. All right.
Oh, we're basically the same.
Basically, because you have your degree in?
agriculture.
There it is. Let's talk with our audio producer, Raymundo. Good morning, Raymundo.
Morning.
How you doing today?
Doing good.
I was thinking about you. I saw the story about at-home bachelor parties, which I know yours is coming up in July in Vegas, and you still think that we're going, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We got months till then.
Well, May. We got two. I guess you're right. We do have months.
Months.
If Vegas doesn't work out, would you be into an at-home bachelor party? Let me tell you more. So let's say we did a Vegas one in your apartment or even my house with like a roulette table, cards. There's, you know, alcohol, obviously, pizza. What do you think about that?
I honestly think that would be the next best thing. We get some.
No. There'll be no.
Yeah. No.
Some what?
Amy.
Yeah!
Ladies.
Females.
Ladies.
No.
At my house, that will not happen if we do it here. Would you
got
really
a good setup would, though? You got that glass staircase.
What's he talking about,
Raymundo? Would you really want that though?
That would be something we would look back on in 5 years and laugh our butts off at how funny that night was. Yes, that would be greatness.
I would.
Bones, you do have that fireman's pole.
Don't. Listeners, don't listen to Eddie and don't listen to Raymundo. They think I have some kind of exotic palace.
And you got a pool. I mean, geez.
Listen,
put him in there.
Raymundo, if you wanted to have it at my house and we didn't go to Vegas, I would be up for it, but there could be no girls.
No.
Would you still be up? Eddie, what would your wife say if there were girls here?
Oh, dude, that'd be terrible.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
terrible.
Be able to go to your house.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be able to have it. So it'd be there's no way. No girls. Do you still want to have it, Raymundo?
Yeah, your pad. That'd be pretty sweet, especially during the summer with the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we'll be out there throwing the football. You got some lights. Can you light up that patio up top? Because we're going to be out all night.
Wait, so you still want to go and like... Be in the pool all together if there are no, like, none of our girls. Like, that seems weird to me, a bunch of dudes just chilling in the pool.
But that's what I'm asking. How well is it lit? There's all kinds of stuff we can do in the pool. Just like guys' time. Like,
I don't think we have a bunch of guys just
that's
wrestling.
What you really want, Ray?
You know what? If that's what you want, Ray, we'll have all guys in the pool.
Yeah!
Okay.
You guys ever played pool games like volleyball or.
Not with just dudes, no.
All right, Raymundo, if Vegas in July doesn't work out, I am extending. We can do it at my house with no girls, meaning no hired girls. If we wanted to have our women's come.
No,
you can't do that.
No.
Raymundo, I would allow that, even for a portion of it. It'd be up to you, though, okay?
Yeah, they could come, then leave once we get excited.
No.
Hey, your party, Raymundo, your rules.
He's going to put us all in the pool, Bones. What do you mean his party?
He's like, all right, girls, you're all leaving. Guys, all in the pool. We're like, wait,
shirts
what?
Off in no, the no, pool. That-
I was watching Raymundo's Instagram story, and this is earlier in the week, and he was at the doctor's office, and they were taking blood from him, and I thought he was getting a corona test on his Instagram story or getting an antibodies test, and then they take the blood and put it in his head for his hair to grow back. Right, Raymundo?
Yeah, they help with the crown, and they say it'll start to regrow in a couple months, so right in time for the wedding.
So you've been doing this for a little bit, though, right?
Yeah, it takes some times going in. It's not just a one-time thing.
Have you seen any growth on your head yet?
Oh, yeah. I already told the chicks there. I said, if I hadn't come to y'all, I would probably be bald. I'd look like I was 50 right now, probably.
50?
50? You're...
Honestly, I'd have nothing up top. It's the... The blood droplets and...
No, I'm saying like 50 is not old, and it doesn't mean you have to be bald if you're 50. I think it's all genetic,
also,
not age-based.
Yeah, and you just aged yourself 20 years. How old are you?
I'm 34, but I just saw already the hair thinning going on, and without the products that they were giving me, honestly, I'd be in real big trouble.
Anyone in your family bald?
No, that's the thing. Everybody's got their hair. My brother, since we're twins, I guess, yeah, he's losing it in the same spot I am, right in the very top. So, I mean, it makes sense. But, yeah, my dad's got a full head. It doesn't make sense.
Is your girlfriend... Is she?
Mom's.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think about... Because I think being bald comes from both sides, really. I mean, I think the old wives tell us it just comes from the mom's side. But I think it comes from both sides. All right, well, we're going to end this, Ray. Oh, is that expensive, by the way, to get your hair done? Your blood and your hair?
honestly, if you they do payment plans,
yeah,
really not bad. And if it gives you hair, man, I'm like living my best life right now.
Okay. If you want to have your bachelor party, you can have it at my house if we don't go to Vegas.
Yeah!
Okay. The end, but no no girl dancers that you have to pay.
Yeah.
And also, you better notify the neighbors. We're going to be up late.
Okay.
Bobby, you know you're going to... Wait, Ray. You know Bobby's going to put a time limit on the party.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 9:30. It's over.
It'll go into the wee hours, and I can already see, because you have that patio up top, we can easily jump from there into the pool.
No, you can't. Somebody's going to die. All right.
Come on, Ray.
Yeah,
right.
That's
and with that, we are wrapping the segment. All right. Big show later on. I kind of reveal my girlfriend and I's plans on our future. That's coming up. Also, Jason Alexander, who played George Costanza on Seinfeld, is going to be on the show. That's two fun things. But now it's time for Fun Fact Friday. Here we go.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
They're fun. They're facts. There are five of them. Let's get going.
Number five.
So Emily Blunt had a stutter when she was a kid, so debilitating that she couldn't hold any conversation. It was cured by acting, though. Emily said her teacher encouraged her to try acting in her school play, and suddenly she was free from the stutter. So it's kind of a miracle.
And Emily Blunt is married to?
John Krasinski.
All right, who played Jim on The Office, who I picked as my favorite TV person friend. That's who it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Number four.
The color orange was named after the fruit. So the fruit came before the color. Before the 16th century, color orange, it was referred to as yellow red.
Oh, wow. They put absolutely no effort in naming that color before they called
they
it
actually
orange.
Saw the fruit, yeah, and then decided to name the fruit orange. Yeah. And then that's why we call it that.
Okay. There you go.
Number three.
Ellen DeGeneres was offered to play the role of Phoebe in Friends, but she turned it down.
Wow.
She was actually the producer's first choice to play, but yeah, she didn't want to do it.
Well, you know, it worked out for her. But wow, what a different world we would live in if that were the case. Also, I read that Ellen started to feel beaten up a little bit by all the stories about her not being nice. That it's been going around so much, and, you know, there's been like four or five big waves of it. It hasn't hurt her ratings at all. But this is starting to feel like, man, everybody's talking about how not nice I am. That's not very fun, but I did read that. Here we go.
Number two.
Prior to his death, Robin Williams had a stipulation in his contract that for any movie or event he did, the company hiring him also had to hire a certain number of homeless people and put them to work.
Wow, that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good one. And here we go, the last one, the most fun one, number one.
Number one.
So Bryan Cranston, you know, from Breaking Bad, he was once a suspect in a murder investigation.
Wow.
So it was during a road trip around America.
Is this fun? Wow, this is... All right, go ahead.
Okay, so he was doing this trip around America. He picked up odd jobs. One of them was in a restaurant where he hated the head chef and often used to joke with the staff that he wanted to, quote, kill him. Well, the chef ended up dead, which coincided with Brian leaving town. But again,
wow,
he was on an around the America trip, and the timeline was super suspicious, so he became a suspect, but luckily he was able to prove his innocence.
I mean, that's just crazy. I don't know, that's terribly fun, but that is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's just interesting, too, because also with Tiger King, it's like, you know, threatening to kill someone, even if you're joking, could come back to bite you.
Yeah. Dang, 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 dang. Okay. Well, there you have it. That's Fun mm-hmm. Fact Friday. Close it up.
Fun Fact Friday.
Yay! Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Rochester, New Hampshire. A 31-year-old woman was driving 90 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. She gets pulled over, gets a ticket, and the cop says, I'm not going to arrest you. You go on your day. 13 minutes later, another state trooper busts her going 111 miles an hour.
Wow, wow, wow. So then what happens to her? I assume jail?
Yeah, reckless driving. She was arrested.
By the way, it looks like you have a shave and a haircut today. Is that true?
I just have a shave, no haircut. I have not been to the barber in I don't know how long, but I did shave out on my back porch, yeah.
Oh, it looks like you got your bangs trimmed, too.
No, I just comb them to the side every once in a while.
Doesn't Amy look like I got his bangs trimmed?
Kind of, yeah. They look like a fresh little...
Yeah, fresh little bang trim. Like,
do I look young?
You look like your bang trim for sure.
Ah, no, no trimming of that bang, though.
All right, all right. All right, there you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So a group of moms in Maryland are doing something cool with an Airbnb that they run. Instead of renting it out to people, they have decided to turn it into one huge pop-up pantry, the whole house. Wow. They're filling the place with diapers, baby clothes, books, and food. And then they make weekly deliveries to families that need stuff.
Wow. They turn the whole house into that. That's pretty cool. Man, good for them. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah. Now time for one of our favorite games. Let's play Super Easy Trivia, where all the questions are so easy, no one should ever be eliminated. By the way, there'll be a new episode of my video version of Super Easy Trivia with Dierks Bentley playing. It is up after the show's over today. Check it out at Mr. Bobby Bones on Instagram. Are you ready, Amy, to play the game?
Ready.
You're up first. Easy trivia. If you miss it, you're out. How many inches are in a foot?
12.
Correct in the game. Over to Lunchbox. Lunchbox, how many stars and stripes are on the American flag?
50 stars because they're all the states. And I think there's 13 stripes to represent something.
The colonies, that is correct. Nice job.
Yeah.
Eddie, over to you.
Come on.
How many presidents are on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, that's George. Yeah, I'm not going to name him. Four.
Four is correct.
Yeah.
You're still in the game. Over to Morgan, number two. Hey, Morgan, what is Winnie the Pooh's favorite treat?
Honey.
Correct. Nice.
Ooh.
Amy, over to you. What bird lives in Antarctica and cannot fly?
That's tough.
No, it's not. It's easy trivia.
When you've been to Antarctica.
What bird lives in Antarctica and cannot fly?
It's got to be the penguin.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good one.
Nice.
Oh, that was not what I had.
Lunchbox, how many planets are there in the solar system?
I'm out.
Come on, you got this.
Oh, man. No, here we are. You guys give me this one every time.
Space is so hard.
I mean, I hate space. Like, I hate it. Like, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, no, space makes no sense. Like, we waste so much money investigating space. Venim Shmup. Very. Venim Shmup. That's from Saved by the Bell. Like, when they're Screech is trying to teach Zach the planets.
5 seconds.
Very energetic mother just served us 9 pizzas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 8.
8 is correct.
Oh!
Nice.
Oh!
Eddie, what's the baby lion's name in The Lion King?
Ooh, Simba.
Correct. Hey, Morgan, how many dwarfs did Snow White live with?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. 7.
Correct. Everybody's in round number 3. They get a little harder. Amy, what fruit does SpongeBob live in?
A pineapple.
That is correct. Nice. Hey, Lunchbox, what princess fell in love with the Beast?
Oh, yeah, Beauty. Because it's Beauty and the Beast.
I need the name of the princess.
What? It's not Jasmine, because that's from that other one. It's not Cinderella.
And then he'll magically get it right.
Yeah, he does this every time. He walks us all the way down it and then goes, go! plus one is two, are you kidding me? I didn't even know that!
hey, sorry you give me the difficult ones. I'm trying to talk this through. I don't...
5 seconds.
Ooh. How about Bella?
Mike D?
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect?
Incorrect.
Morgan, do you want to tell him what it is?
It's Belle.
It's Belle. B-E-L-L-E.
Oh, my God.
So close.
I think he knew that. I think he thought Bella the whole time, and was just kind of walking us into it. Mm-hmm. Amy never rolls her eyes at people, but she rolls her eyes every time he starts answering a question in trivia. She's like, all right,
I don't understand why you roll your eyes. Like, I really don't know the answer, so I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I counted 9 planets, and I guessed 8 because 9 sounded wrong. I mean...
Well, no, probably because Pluto's not a planet anymore.
Would have also accepted 9, though, because Pluto is a dwarf planet, yeah. So you'd have been right twice, but he didn't know. Okay, here we go. Eddie, how many zeros are in a million?
Oh, write that down. One. That's 1 million. That's 6 zeros.
Correct. Hey, Morgan, you're still in the game. Which president is on the $20 bill?
Oh, yeah, I so don't know this. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. I think George Washington is on the number one, or the one bill. Thomas Jefferson?
Incorrect, I'm sorry. It's Andrew Jackson. Only 2 players remain in easy trivia. Amy versus Eddie. Amy, what's the shape of a stop sign?
Ugh!
Are you kidding?
Come on,
Amy.
Oh!
We're rolling your eyes at you.
Now you're rolling your eyes at me? Yes. I'm just thinking. Okay, fine. Hold on.
What's the shape of
a
stop sign?
1, 2, 3. It's 6 sides.
Incorrect.
Pentagon is... It's not. See? I mean, I didn't even know. Now I didn't have time to think it through.
Octagon. Eddie.
Come on.
How many is that? 8?
It's 8, yeah.
Octa. Ocho.
Idiot. Like Octa.
Eddie,
Mom.
For the win, easy trivia.
I'm ready.
What comes after a million, a billion, a trillion, a blank?
What? There's another one?
A million, a billion, a trillion, and blank.
Got it. Lock me in.
Go ahead.
A gazillion.
That's what I thought. Is that not right?
I don't even know if that's a real number. I think maybe a cartoon number.
I have a gazillion dollars.
That's
not a real number.
It's not.
It's a quadrillion. Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Okay. Amy, you're still in the game.
Okay.
How many arms and legs does an octopus have?
I mean, I guess by octo, I'm going to go with 8.
Correct. Eddie, to stay in the game, how many pints are in a gallon?
Oh, God. I'm terrible at this. In school, we had the half of pints?
Say a gazillion. So,
that'd be double of that. Give me 4 pints.
Give him 4 pints. Incorrect. Sorry, Eddie.
No!
It's 8. I kept the 8 string going. Amy, you are the winner of Super Easy Trivia. There it is.
Woo!
Well, on Super Easy Trivia today, you'll be able to, because I do a video version, and here is a clip of Dirks and I roasting each other on the game today. Here you go.
Oh, I see Dirks Bentley's got a sweet mustache down below.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Dude, looking good. Is that a clip-on? A
couple flies in that mustache, and we're roasting already.
There you go. And then here is Angie from Kiss FM and I talking about quarantine. Here you go. Chicago.
Angie from Kiss FM, I'm assuming you're in Chicago right now.
I am in Chicago. I'm in my basement that looks like a bunker, but yes, I'm super excited to be here. Thank you, Bob.
And are you doing the radio show from your basement?
We were quarantined here and doing the show from here, but now we're back in the studio. And honestly, I'm happy to be able to leave home and go somewhere else and not see my husband every day. So thank you.
There you go. Check out the game show. It'll be up right when the show's over. Mr. Bobby Bones. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So guess what, parents? We can still send our kids to cyber camp this summer.
Oh, but isn't that the same thing? You still have to watch them.
Well, I'm definitely looking into this because it's just something for your kids to do. Because if you're like me, I was pretty pumped about my kids getting to go to church camp or going to some sort of summer camp. But basically, those are canceled. But you can send them online, and it's cheaper than sleepaway camp. But they're putting kids in these virtual groups, so it's kind of like they have bunkmates, but online.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great alternative, right? I think for what's happening, it's wonderful. Yeah. But it's not the same because...
No, nothing's the same right now, but you're getting activities for your kids each day, and children of healthcare workers, they can attend a lot of these camps for free, so look into it.
Wow.
J-Lo's daughter, Emmy. She's dropping her first book in the fall, and she's only 12 years old.
Yeah, but celebrity kids that drop books, I don't really feel like they write them. What's it about?
It's called Lord Help Me, and it's described as an inspirational story that shares the everyday power of mindfulness through prayer.
And she's how old? I don't know, a 12-year-old that could write that intro or that description, much less a book.
Again, she's 12, and this is the daughter that J-Lo had with Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
It drops in English and Spanish on September 29th.
Hey, good for her. You know, get the right people around you, make great things happen. So, yeah, good for her. What else you got?
So I have what hotels will look like post-pandemic. So just some things to keep in mind that are probably going to be pretty different. No more mini bars and coffee makers. Key cards will slowly phase out. No more desks. Desks were like the germiest surfaces in rooms. And
what are people doing on the desks?
I have no idea. No more room service menus.
That is disgusting, the room service menu.
Yeah, paper's hard to keep clean. No more TV remotes. So there'll be some smart app situations where maybe you just talk to the TV.
Well, or what hopefully we start doing with our TVs eventually in the next couple of years, it's all on our phone. Meaning...
Yeah. That too, smartphone
even
apps.
Even beeping into doors. There are some hotels that I haven't been to them, but I've seen them online, where it's just an app and it recognizes a code and you beep into the door.
Cool. That's probably going to happen up here with the no more key cards.
I didn't invent it. I think she was giving me credit. Like, cool. I've seen it. I didn't actually make it happen.
No more touch-controlled fixtures. Get ready to just start waving your hand in front of everything like a light switch. You wave it, which our office in... or a studio we go to in New York, that door, there's a door there that opens where you wave your hand, and I always feel like a weirdo trying to get it to open, but that'll be all of us. And then lastly, no more hot tubs.
Well, I just wish there'd be more clappers, because I would like for more things to come on if I went, you know?
Well, then you should hang out in my son Stevenson's room. He does that. He still has his clapper.
Do you hear him clapping sometimes?
Oh, yeah, every night and every morning. he uses his clapper for his fan, though.
Yeah.
So, or he'll switch it around depending on what device he wants to hook it up to.
I would just do lights. Like, time to lay down. Does he have, you can do three claps for different things?
Oh, I don't know that we've hit that level, but.
All of a sudden. Yeah. All right. Is that it, Amy?
Yeah, maybe. That's my pile.
There you go.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
We have a great hour. In 15 minutes or so, Jason Alexander, who plays George on Seinfeld, George Costanza, he's going to be on the show. He's going to hang out with us for like half an hour or so. So we'll have him coming up in the next 10 minutes. I'll tell you how my brain doctor appointment went yesterday. Had a little trip to the neurologist. Got that. Later on in the show, probably top of next hour or so, maybe after the dance party, my girlfriend Caitlin comes into studio. And we reveal our future plans.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ah, big show today. And what's she going to do? Is she going to move back to California, date long distance? Is she going to move to Nashville and we date, but closer in the same city? Or does she move in? I've never had anybody live with me before. So it's all a thing. We'll find out today. So much. But before we get going, let's get going with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
What did the cat say when it was confused? I'm perplexed.
Perplexed. Okay.
That was the Morning Corny.
Went to the brain doctor yesterday, aka the neurologist. Are you curious at the results?
Yes, very. Do you have them already?
Nope. But I did go. Oh. Here's what I did. I walked in. I said, hey. He said, what's the problem? I said, I don't know. I can't remember names. Even my friends sometimes can't remember their names. There are words that I just can't find. And so we went through a bunch of tests, and you know, we did pulls and pushes. He poked me in my feet with stuff, and he made me balance. And he goes, okay, you're all checked out there. And then we sat down, and we did this thing where he goes, okay, I need you to go backward from 100 by 7. Go ahead and go. And so I'm like, 93, 8, and I'm just going, whatever. And he goes, okay. Then he goes, and I'll give you this test, Amy. You ready?
I couldn't do that. Yeah.
He said, do the months backward. Go.
December, November, October, September, August, July, June, May, April, March, February, January.
Yeah. You forgot October, I think.
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay. It took you 14 seconds.
Oh, you better check your brain.
I don't know. I know. I mean, I may have just not heard it. It took you 14 seconds.
It could have been faster.
It's supposed to take 8 seconds.
Oh.
So you may need to go make a call. But as we're doing that.
What do you mean it's supposed to? Okay.
At the beginning of it, he said, okay, here's 5 words. Remember these words, Amy, okay?
Okay.
Okay. House, velvet, face, red, daisy. One more time. House, face, red, velvet, daisy.
You switched them.
Oh, I didn't do it on purpose. Let me write it down then. It's the same words, though. House.
Well, yeah, but.
Okay, here we go. Let's do it again. House, face, red, velvet, daisy. House, face, red, velvet, daisy. So remember those 5 words. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then he would ask me a lot of questions. Like, hey, let me take a clock and draw all the numbers and do 10 past 11. We're going through all of these. He said, what are these three animals? We listed up all the animals. We did all this stuff. And he was like, okay, well, you may have some deficiencies in your blood work. So I gave a bunch of blood. Obviously, that takes a while to get back. Then he goes, have you had sleep issues? And talked about just a lot of stuff, but it was very introductory. But I was nervous about it a little bit. And when you walk in too, they check you to make sure you don't have a fever to walk into certain places, like total corona. Yeah. Everybody's in a mask. And when you see somebody not in a mask, you're like, why aren't you wearing a mask? So that it was a whole thing. I don't know yet what's happened, but that was.
So you're just
going to
wait for a phone call.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for you. Gave me a couple other doctors I was supposed to go to, but that was it. Hey, by the way, I need to know those 5 words again. Go ahead.
House, face, red velvet daisy.
I put red velvet together accidentally, but you got all 5 of them. That's good.
Does that help me?
Yeah, I didn't mean to do it like that. But you got all 5 of them. Good for you. That means you're functioning.
Well, house, velvet, daisy, red face. Mixed it up for you.
That's the remix. Holy crap.
but
that's what happened. I'll give you the update when I get it. I still don't have my antibody results, though, from COVID.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for your big reveal.
It's been a week. Me too. It's been a week. But that's it. If I have to go in for any crazy stuff, I'll let you know.
December, November, October, September, August, July,
you're not going to do
June.
It, Amy.
You shouldn't be out of breath.
March, all February, right. January. How many seconds?
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Jason Alexander.
Hey, Jason.
Hello, sir.
Hey, really good to talk to you. Big fan, as everybody in the whole world is.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure that's true, Bobby, but thank you very much.
You know, last night I was online and I was playing poker, and I knew I was going to get to talk to you today, which I was super excited about, and I was playing. And I haven't played poker in a long time, but because of, you know, what's happening, we're all in our houses, I'm looking for stuff to do. And I thought, because I know you were a big poker player. I don't know if you still are, but are you into it big time right now or no?
It's hard to be into it big time because you can't really... You can't play in bigger games, and I never really played in bigger games anyway because my wife is very firm about the idea that if I'm going to risk more than $1,000 or $2, I could be giving it to some worthy person or cause rather than the other schmucks at the table playing poker with me. So I tend to play charity tournaments, fundraiser tournaments, and when I do play, I play every day. I play in an online app, which is Real People. You do buy the chips, but you can't really make any money by playing, so it doesn't have that stake to it. But I play every day to work on the skills, and there has suddenly been a real rise in online poker fundraising and charity work. I know there are 2 sites that have been able to sponsor those kinds of games, and I've been playing in those, and that's been tremendous fun to get, you know, reconnected with the poker world without being damaged too badly and doing some good things at the same time. So it works out well.
Have you ever competed in the World Series of Poker?
I did. I played seven times, 7 consecutive years, and then I hadn't been able to play for almost 7 or 8 years because I was always working in the summer. I played 7 times. I think the furthest I got, I was probably about 150 to 200 seats outside of being paid any kind of money, and I always would get taken out with, you know, of the 7 times I play, I think I busted out of the series 4 times with pocket aces, and twice with pocket jacks. Now, you deserve to get slapped in the head with pocket jacks, but the pocket aces were heartbreakers every time.
Did you feel like because you were famous, though, there was a bounty on you where people wanted to say they knocked out Jason Alexander?
I never felt it. I'm sure it's true. I mean, it's more of a story than I knocked out a guy in a hat, to be able to say I knocked out somebody whose name might be recognized. I actually found that for reasons that make no sense, the players at the table gave me credit for much more skill than I actually have. I earned some sort of strange respect because I've won a couple of charity tournaments that they'd seen me play online, and they think that I'm better than I am. They were always fun. The games were always fun. The people were always really cool. I've enjoyed it every time. I don't think I've ever, I know people do, but I don't think I've ever had a bad experience at a poker table as far as the social element of the game and you know, meeting wonderful people and having a good time. I've certainly lost more money than I care to, recount, but the experience has always been good.
You know, when I mentioned you were going to come on the show and how big of a fan that I am and have been for a long time, I started to get a lot of messages going, hey, met him at an airport, or hey, he spoke at our company's event. And I'm telling you, this almost never happens. Every single one of them talked about just how kind of a guy that you are.
Oh.
And so I guess I wonder, like, when you're going into a public place, are you going, all right, I gotta make sure that everybody around me feels good after they leave, because in the social media age, everybody's gonna have a story.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not quite as calculated as that. I've always been well aware that, I'm a product, and I'm constantly trying to sell some version of my product to my buyers. My buyers are the audience, the people. So. And the fact that the things that I do excite anybody or make people happy, and then they want to come up and express that or share it in some way, you can't be having a bad day when people do that. It is not fair to people to not come through for them when all they want to do is express some kind of thanks or gratitude or share an experience that they've had because of something you've been part of. To not respond to that in some sort of appreciative way is kind of a dick thing to do. Now, there are times where you just don't have the time, or I'm with other people and it's not fair to them. But for the most part, when I go out in public, if I don't have a really timely agenda, and people are nice enough to approach me, I try to make it an experience. First of all, I'm honored and I'm flattered that people do that, but I also want to make it an experience where they go, hey, I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I got up the gumption or took my time to go over and say something to that guy because I wanted to share a moment with him. And so it becomes a nice exchange. And the fact that if that is in fact my reputation, then I'm delighted. My parents in heaven would go, we raised him well, by God.
Do any folks come up to you and literally think your name is George and call you, hey, George?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've had more people, some of whom I even, I'll start a new job and, you're all introduced and it's Jason, 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 Jason. And, on the second or third day of work, somebody goes, so George, oh, I'm so sorry, man. I go, no. Happens all the time. The only thing that I don't do, and if people have been on the receiving end of this, they may go, he's not such a nice guy, is sometimes if I'm in a public place and somebody's trying to get my attention by yelling out, George, hey, George, George. I hear it, but I don't turn around and acknowledge it. And the reason I don't is that so many times when Seinfeld started to become popular and that started to happen, I would turn around and go, hey, yeah, how you doing? And they would actually be calling for somebody named George who was, around me, but not me. And I would feel like such a dummy that I said, okay, please don't think the whole world is, just is calling out for your character every minute of every day. So if they come up to me, I definitely respond no matter what they call me. But if they just yell out George, I go, it could be another guy.
You mentioned the early days. Was that show more, because, I remember when it started, was it more of a crawl to a sprint, or was it kind of a rocket ride for you personally?
I think even calling it a crawl is generous. We made the pilot of Seinfeld. We weren't even really picked up. They just aired the pilot in a dead spot on the schedule. And a critic wrote about it. And a critic wrote about it. And all of a sudden, it got another chance at NBC. And it kind of, you know, it was a show that had a very small and I guess dedicated niche audience when it first began. And that niche audience was if I'm correct, I mean, this memory is a crazy thing, and I've learned to not believe everything I think is a good memory. But my memory is that our niche audience were basically men between the ages of 18 and, say, 32. And because we were getting that audience, that was the audience advertisers really wanted to get to. And they were not usually television watchers. More women were watching television, and more older people were watching television. So the fact that our show was specifically playing to that very desirable niche meant that we could always get somebody to advertise on our show, and so we stayed on. And we stayed on, and the network stayed with us, and Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David stayed true to their vision. And they just kept producing good show after good show after good show, and eventually it caught on. But it really wasn't until well into the third season when they put us on after Cheers, and that was a real prime spotlighted slot. That's when the show began to really take on a life. And yeah, I guess it once that happened, the change was fast and furious. I don't think we all felt that necessarily. I think we always felt like might not be here next week, so you know, enjoy it while you can. I don't think it went to anybody's head for the most part, and I know that it never came on to. It was never an attitude that permeated our stage when we were shooting the show. We always felt, you know, Jerry Seinfeld once described us as the world's greatest garage band. It's like four guys are playing in the garage for themselves, and the neighborhood's going, you know, these guys aren't bad. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I see where you guys are going over to Netflix, the show is, which means you're going to have this whole new, you know, 12 to 22-year-old audience that maybe hasn't been exposed to Seinfeld like I did in the 90s and 2000s. Is that exciting for you?
Well, it's, you know, I got to tell you, the longevity and the massive diversity of the Seinfeld audience has always surprised me. I am shocked that people still find the show. I know it's my kids are, you know, just recently out of college, but I know it was a huge college show when they were going to school. It seems to be something that young generation, every next young generation seems to pick up on and enjoy. And for the life of me, I'm very proud of the show, but I don't know why. I don't know how it still feels relevant in some way to younger audiences, to the point where, you know, we don't have cell phones in that show. I mean, it's almost like from a different world. But the fact that it continues to gather audience and amuse is kind of fabulous. Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, I'm never not cheering for the show. I'm never not longevity. We made it with love, and we worked hard at it, and we're very proud of it. So the fact that it keeps performing for people is just a kind of a vindication of all that.
I'm going to get a little advice from you here because I, you know, as a performer, I do stand up and I play music, but I've been studying masterclass magic. Now, Jason, I'm not good. I work hard. I'm repetition. I'm doing. Oh, what? Because you are a magician.
Sure.
What in the world do I need to do to get just okay at it? So when I'm performing in a theater of 1,000 or 2,000 people, that I don't look like a complete fool.
Wow, Bobby, that's tough. All right, so magic has two components. There's the technical proficiency of actually technically doing the mechanics of the trick well. And that's just practice. I mean, it's really diligent practice, getting in front of a mirror or filming yourself and making sure that from every angle that you need it to be clean and perfect, it's right, the timing of it is right. And a lot of the stuff that I did I would check out with other magicians, and they would really offer some pretty great ideas, or at least things to consider. But the other part of it that I always thought about, and I think it's the reason why when I did my act at the Magic Castle, I wound up winning the Magician of the Year award for it. It's not that my tricks were so unusual or spectacular, but I thought about the presentation a great deal. I thought about the question that that an audience member has is, why should I believe in this? Why should I even invest in this? What is your excuse, oh great magician, for being able to do these things? Or what premise do you want to put it in? The problem with most magic is magicians think that the illusion itself is enough to get excited about if you're watching it. And what great performers, let's say David Copperfield. David Copperfield does great grand illusions, but what makes them so memorable and spectacular is he creates emotional context around it so that you feel something because the trick is happening. It's not just, oh, wow, look at that. That was pretty flashy. Look, I took an ace of spades, put it on top of the deck, and now it's the ace of diamonds. That's cool, but it's not, it's a trick. And you go, oh, that was cool. But if you talk about, if you create a context for, you know, why this the symbol of a diamond was so important to your mother. She never had the diamond. She lost her diamond ring, and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, Mama, I can't give you a diamond ring, but I can turn things into diamonds anywhere you look. And now you turn over the ace of diamonds, now there's an emotional context to it. So I will tell you, get really good at the mechanics, but then find a story or a reason or a premise that makes it important for your audience to want to believe in that trick.
All right, I'm still in the mechanics part of it, but it sounds like you just want me to do the trick nude. That's what I took there.
Well, you know what? Now there's an emotional context, I promise you.
I do want to ask, because I was such a fan of both King of Queens and on Seinfeld, and I saw you tweeting about him, Jerry Stiller. He made me laugh out loud, and I don't laugh out loud that often when I'm by myself. By yourself, right. It's hard to laugh out loud. But Jerry Stiller would make me laugh out loud on both of those shows. And I know you worked with him and loved him. How funny was he to be around?
He definitely was funny if he wanted to be. I mean, if he was telling a story, a funny tale, he knew how to tell that story. There's no question. But one of the things that was so lovable about Jerry Stiller is that he was very unpresuming about anything. He didn't think of himself as a great anything. He didn't think of himself as a great man, a great actor, a great comedian. He was always more interested in you, wanting to know about you, expressing his thrill to be invited to participate in any given thing. He would talk about things he had done, but not with a sense of boast, but more with a sense of, here were the people I got to work with. Here were the things I got to see. Here were the things I learned. The humility of the guy. You can't be incredibly, incredibly humble and on, you know, in the way that a comic is. They just don't go together. So Jerry Stiller would turn off Jerry Stiller in order to become Frank Costanza and Arthur Spooner and all the other people he would play, because he was a very kind of not shy in that. I mean, he could talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. There was no problem, but he was never boastful. He never sort of stole the spotlight. He was sharing his life with you in a way that he hoped would be meaningful. So funny, yeah. The minute he got up on a stage, the minute we would step on the set, the things that would come out of his mouth, the way he would find to navigate these roles. I mean, I said it in the little piece in the Times. He would kill us. You go watch the bloopers of our show, and we are constantly just falling out because he was so unpredictable and so wonderful and unique, and he killed us. He was just, I wish everybody could have had the real Jerry Stiller in their life for a minute, because he was just a guy you would instantly have fallen in love with.
Dang. We have two final questions for you. I know Amy, this is my co-host, and Amy, when we said you were coming on, she was like, oh, from Pretty Woman? And so that was how she identified you. So, Amy, I know you have a question for him. What would you like to ask him?
Well, yeah. So don't ask me why, but my parents let me see Pretty Woman at 9 years old.
Wow.
And it's one of my favorite movies ever since. I don't think I understood exactly what her role was. Like, I didn't understand she was a prostitute. But sure. Do people ever, I'm sure you get the George, but do you ever get, hey, Stucky?
I don't get, hey, Stucky. I do get a fair amount still. When the movie first came out, Amy, it was shocking to all of, now this is a story I actually tell when I do my Q&A show, which I'm so thrilled is the one piece of my life that people are still booking. I've been doing online events, fundraisers and corporate events, and in fact I have one a couple hours, and this almost always comes up as people want to know about Pretty Woman. And when the movie came out, the success of it was a surprise to all of us. We had a great time filming it, but it was a little bit of something that was cobbled together by Gary Marshall as we were doing it. He would deviate from the script. It had a very different feel from the script. And we didn't really know what the movie was going to be. And when it finally came out, everybody's performance was really created in the editing room by Gary Marshall. And I realized that my performance, of all the variations I had given him, was the one that was unbelievably despicable.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really still a relatively unknown actor. I was mostly doing commercials and Broadway and off-Broadway. And I started walking the streets of New York, and women would come up to me with blood in their eyes going, I hate you. I got hit. I got spit at. You know, people were so, women in particular, were so rightfully mad at me for, you know, being the jerk who tried to assault Julia Roberts. And I would always say, never touched her. It's a screen illusion. I never touched her, I swear. Fortunately, over the years, and because of I'm sure Seinfeld, that image of me as only this you know, horrible misogynistic assaulter has dissipated somewhat, or been mitigated, thank God. But yeah, it was rough, and people do still remember that movie. And I have heard from people that they first saw the movie when they were, you know, 10, 11, 12, and I go,
oh,
really? That's
okay.
a bit of a youthful indoctrination, but okay. Yeah. And you know, and I understand why that movie, as you know, sort of tone deaf as it is to the realities of what has emerged through the Me Too movement and women finding their voice and speaking up, the movie, you know, can seem to be a bit wrong-headed, but it was made with really loving intention, and the performances of Richard Gere and especially Julia Roberts are just, you cannot not be captivated by that. They are just so dazzling together, and she is so effervescent and winning always, but certainly in that role, that it's hard not to love that movie.
Well, I'm
still out there.
I'm going to say this before I ask your final question. You're such a good guy, such a giving guy. You did a Zoom as a fundraiser with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and raised a bunch of money there. Your charity poker games. I mean, you just do a lot. When you speak, you're kind. And again, you didn't have to come on and do the show with us. So before I get to the last question, I just want to say thank you. I'm a big fan, and it's always nice when you meet people that you always thought were awesome, and they are just as awesome as you always thought they were. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, too.
1998, 22 years ago today, Seinfeld aired its final episode. After the finale aired and all the press comes out versus today, how did it feel then as to what people said versus how does it feel now from that show being over?
You mean in response to that?
To the finale, yeah, in the jail
episode?
Cell. Yeah.
I think, I could be wrong about this, but anecdotally, when people talk to me about it, I think there is much more affection now for the ending and the finale episode than there was when it first came out. You know, Julia and I actually talked about this. There was so much hype about the finale. What was the finale going to be? You know, and it was elevated to such crazy level that I can't imagine that anything would have satisfied anyone, no matter what we had done. But I think the impression was that initially that the finale was not as rewarding as people had hoped. But over time, I hear more and more that actually people really did enjoy it. And hopefully they enjoyed it for the reason that I thought it was so special, which was we were not a terribly sentimental show. In fact, we were anything but a sentimental show. And there was not a lot of huggy and touchy-feely kind of stuff that would happen on our stage. But Larry David, who had left our show, he did not produce it for the last 2 years, but he came back and he wrote that finale episode. And what he did was find an organic story that would allow all those amazing guests that had been a part of our show over the years, whether they had done multiple episodes or just one episode, where they really contributed to the lexicon of Seinfeld and really elevated our show and made it the success it was. He found a way to have them all back so that they could be a part of this ending and part of the celebration, and we could all have that together. And I adored that. That made everything about it so special, at least to me, that I always looked at the finale through that lens and thought it was magnificent. And apparently now when people watch it, they sort of have that feeling too. Oh my gosh, look at all the great sort of what we call the bench of Seinfeld were back and gathered into one episode, and that had never happened before. So it's received with a lot more affection now than it initially was.
You can follow Jason on Instagram, JAlexander1959. Again, I can see you right now. I'm gracious and grateful and everything I could be. So thank you for your time, and I hope
my
you have
my pleasure, Bobby. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet Amy too.
Yeah, I hope you have an awesome night. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Take care.
One of the questions that I get the most is what's happening with you and Caitlin. We've been quarantined. Caitlin's here. We've been quarantined together for how long?
It'll be 10 weeks on Monday.
Doesn't even feel like 1 week. Hey, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Eddie, why are you laughing?
That's a good answer, man. Very good. And PC.
Okay, rude.
It's not
he
PC.
Means it.
I mean it. You look at my heart right now.
Look at his heart.
You couldn't. Oh, yeah. My heart is so pure. I do. It's been fantastic. And so as things start to reopen, we kind of had to come to the decision of what are we going to do? We going to stay together? Because we've been stay together.
I was about
living.
To say, I didn't know that was in question.
No.
Take myself
stay
downstairs.
Physically together.
Yeah.
Because the quick backstory is we met last year, and Caitlin lived in California, was only there for a year or so doing grad school, which, by the way, she graduated yesterday officially. So come on, she now has her master's. She went back to school after being out for 5 years and got her master. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so now she's a master. And so what does that mean, though? Like, what are you going to do?
It's just kind of like demand that people call me master. That's about it.
Okay, yeah. Well, so she has her master's. She graduated yesterday. Big day here, and now we're going to have a big day where we're going to talk about what we're going to do. Amy, what do you think is going to happen? We're about to announce it here.
I mean, I think she's either going to... She's coming back to Nashville. She's not going to stay in California. She's for sure coming to Nashville, but I don't know if she's going to have her own place or y'all are just going to stay living together. You want me to pick?
I want you to pick and then say why you picked that.
Okay. So I think that if y'all decide to live together, I think that this whole quarantine expedited that, and you've already, it forced you into that. I don't know. I don't want to say prematurely. That sounds negative, but it's true. It probably happened way faster than it would have. But maybe y'all decide to take a step back and she still comes, but she gets her own place.
That's what you think is going to happen.
It's not taking a step back in your relationship, but I don't think that y'all would be living together yet if there hadn't have been coronavirus. So I would think if she were to make her first move to come to Nashville, if there was no coronavirus, she probably would have gotten her own place. But I don't know. That's just my guess. That's why.
Eddie?
Oh, this is easy, man. She's seen the best of the best and the worst of the worst. She's all in. Now she's going to L.A., Schmele to get her stuff, come back, move in with you. Happily ever after.
So you're saying the best of the best, like she's seen me in my best and my worst.
Correct.
Which
she's
is really...
For what, 2 months?
Yeah, it's mostly like occasionally kind of good and a lot of crappy. Let's be honest.
Okay.
There's a lot more worse there than there is the best, right?
No.
Well, it has been... Can I get a drum roll, Raymundo, please?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I just...
This is a radio show.
Caitlin, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Okay. Well, she doesn't like the theatrics of it.
I hate the theatrics, to be honest with you.
I mean, the red curtain and everything that's about to open.
I hate the reveal, the build-up.
That we've had to wait till Friday for this?
All the four teases that we've been
I hate it.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Let me say this, first and foremost. I've never lived with anybody ever and never thought I could be as happy living with someone as I have with you over the past 10 weeks. Ever. It's been absolutely great. So much so that sometimes I go, is this even real?
No.
Like that's what I think sometimes. And I probably don't say that out loud as much as I do sometimes, but probably not as much as you would like.
You say it a lot, I think.
And so I'm also revealing to Caitlin our plan too. She doesn't know either. What if that were it?
Right.
Okay. No, that would be so shady.
That would be so wrong. And also you do not have 100% control of this decision.
I don't think I have. I think I have 49% control. You know how someone has it?
Yeah, no.
Because, okay. So I'll say this first. As of June 1st or so around that point, Caitlin will not live in California anymore. Okay? So we're going to eliminate one of them.
Oh, my gosh. We're doing it in rounds?
Yes.
Okay.
So, after the break. No, I'm just kidding. Don't. I'm just kidding.
I don't know why I'm sweating. I know the answer.
Do you want to tell them or do you want me?
I prefer that you do.
Okay. Well.
Oh, gosh.
I feel rushed, Ray.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ray.
What is happening?
I didn't even reveal it, and the audience is clapping already. Caitlin will be moving.
Stop.
And we will be living together.
Yeah!
Wow. There it is. Eddie, you were right. And the thing is, like, I hang out with Eddie all the time. Amy and I talk every day many, many times. And neither one of you guys knew the answer, really. Like, you're finding out when everybody else finds out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, did you know?
I had no idea.
I didn't know, no.
And Mike D is here at my house with me every day. So we had a lot of good conversations, but I don't ever think there was for me, there wasn't ever a second thought about it. Was there to you?
No, I wouldn't say there was a second thought. I had to make peace with leaving my friends, and I have family as well there. So I think that took some time to just kind of be I would choose to be with you in your city, wherever that is. But also it's a little hard. So I had to take a few days to be like, okay, I'm not going to live in the same city as my friends. I'm not going to live in the same city as my brother and his family. So that's going to be a big change, but I would not have it any other way. Very happy. Happiest I've ever been in my life.
Come on. How great is that?
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, but I feel the same way. I mean, I said that before she said it. Like sometimes I'm like, man, is this, could it be going this good? And it is, it's great. So I am super excited.
Me too.
And the only thing I'm not looking forward to is the closet situation.
Yeah, we already talked about that though.
Wait, what do you mean?
I already decided what's going to happen there.
I told her she could put herself in the entertainment center.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Another room.
I have a lot of clothes and shoes.
As do I.
I know.
Yeah.
And so there's that thing. But anyway, that's it. When do you think, because I don't think we know a date yet.
No, I was waiting until I finished school to focus on that. So yeah, now I guess I just have to book a flight back to LA and pack up my things and hit the road. It's going to be a long road trip.
What she's going to do with a friend.
Yes.
Are you guys going to like road trip and look at stuff?
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to hopefully stop and see my parents in Oklahoma. I mean, you can't really do anything that exciting right now. So we'll be safe, but we'll try to make the best of it.
All right. There it is. The big announcement, which I am so excited to share. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Okay. Why?
I've never clapped for my own life decision before.
Well, get used to
You're
it.
You're not clapping. We are.
No, I don't. No, she was clapping too. I weirdly clap.
If everybody around you starts clapping, you just have to feel like you have to get in.
It's a rule.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For... No, I was talking to Jesus for putting you in my life. You interrupted my talk.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
Okay. How do you feel this went?
I went a lot better than I was expecting it to go.
Okay. I think it went great.
Yeah, I do too. I was just nervous.
Caitlin doesn't love the public life.
I just don't. It's hard for me right still to have my decisions evaluated by people that I don't know.
I described to our listeners, like you and I had talked about, where I am publicly large and in charge.
Yeah.
Loud, got a lot to say, Mr. Gregarious. However,
you won't go talk to the neighbors.
I don't want to talk to anybody once the show's over. I'm quiet. I keep my head down. I feel like I'm bothering people.
Right.
Where you're the opposite.
Yeah.
Where when there's not, you are Miss Have a Talk.
Of course.
You want to talk to everybody else. You want to be friends with people. Amy, she will meet someone in an airplane and be like, you know who you should be friends with? My brother. And then give him her brother's number or she'll like meet people. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I like to connect people and that makes me happy.
But then, you know, this is a growing process for sure. And I won't always do it right.
I think you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
All right. Can't wait for you to change your mail to come over here.
Change my mail.
Yeah, so I can go through it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Sorry.
All right. All right. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Runaway June.
We're on now with all three of Runaway June, but it's kind of a news story, a country music breaking news. And Naomi, I'll let you kind of walk me through this. You guys are making a change in Runaway June, is that right?
Yeah, we are, and it's been such a positive thing out of so much craziness in the world right now. Our low harmony singer, Hannah, has decided to make a change in her life, which we all really co-sign and support for her. She wants to be with her husband and her family in California, and we completely support that. It's a really crazy time in the world. And we are unveiling our beautiful friend, Natalie Stovall, is stepping in, and we could not be more excited for this.
Okay.
Insane.
Before we get to Natalie, I'd like to ask a couple questions, if that's okay.
Okay.
Because the people want to know. Okay. They want to know the truth. Now, did you guys ever consider Runaway June as a duo?
You know, it's so funny. Naomi and I did. We talked about being a duo and talked about what that meant, and we just really love the three-part harmony. And also, when we talked about adding a member, if we were going to add a member, we were like, the literal only person that we could ever see taking this part is Natalie, because she's an amazing singer. She's an amazing musician. Her presence on stage is insane. And so we thought about being a duo or having someone that makes us better, and it was a no-brainer.
Well, now we're going to get over to Natalie, who, by the way, in many incarnations has been on this show. She has been on the show.
Yeah, we stole her straight from you.
Well, no. Way before that. So this is Natalie. Natalie was one of the first. The crazy part about this is that Jen, who's in Runaway June, brought in Natalie as an artist because Jen was working at a record label and she was like, this is my band, Natalie Stovall and The Drive, right? That was I'm accurate, right, Jen?
Yes, yeah, and I believed in her so much.
It's crazy how this is all working itself out here.
I know.
So Natalie comes in and just crushes it, and I was like, I'm such a fan of Natalie Stovall. She came in and Natalie, we're going to get to you in a minute, just stand by. So she came in, she crushed it, and I was such a fan, and then she decided she was going to go solo, and I was like, hey, Natalie, why don't you come and do some shows with my band, The Raging Idiots, and really do all the heavy singing and fiddle playing and basically everything. And so she was like, sure. So Natalie, although she's been touring as herself, she's also been out with my band just dominating and winning crowds over like crazy. And I would always say, man, as soon as someone scoops up Natalie, they're going to have a prize. They had no idea. And then I get a call from Natalie. I'm just going to tell you, like, who knows how long. Natalie, how long ago did we talk?
I think it's been a month.
Yeah.
Maybe a month and a half. Yeah.
And she was
yeah.
like, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to be in Runaway June. And I was like, Natalie, what did I say to you when you told me?
That's great. I mean, yeah.
All right, now tell the truth. What did he say?
No, that's what I said.
No, actually, he didn't say it in that same inflection. He said, that's great. He was thinking about it. Yes, that's great.
Well, Natalie Stovall, I have to ask you, how does it feel? You're going into, you know, a group that has some success, and here you are, the new person. Like, what is your feeling on this?
Well, it's extremely exciting. I really am honored that they were thinking it was either going to be a duo or if, you know, that I was the only person they were going to ask. That's incredible. And I know that one of my favorite ways to create music is in a group setting and with band members. I mean, there's nothing like that. But I've never had the opportunity to really tour with sisters on the road. I've always been surrounded by dudes. So that in itself, and also just the thought of getting to sing three-part harmony all the time. I'm such a sucker for harmonies. And it was just, it was a really left field ask. I did not expect it. It took me a second to adjust my focus to it. But as soon as it settled in, it was a no-brainer for me.
Natalie Stovall is now a member of Runaway June.
Yay!
And if I can be selfish for a second, if you'll indulge me, everyone, whenever Natalie said that she can't wait to sing three-part harmonies, I thought, well, what did me and Eddie and Natalie do? Not that.
She can't wait to be in an actual band.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, I'm super excited, and just personally, you know, I'm friends with all three of you separately and together, and I feel like on both sides, I've been like, Natalie's the greatest human being you're ever going to know in the history of the world. And then to Natalie, I'm like, this makes perfect sense. I'm so happy. So I love it. I think I just see great success for you guys anyway. But now it's like you guys have a powerhouse singer. And Natalie, you still going to play the fiddle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Okay. Well, what's next for you? I know that's a weird question because everyone's kind of locked away right now, but do you guys try to record a song or something with Natalie, or what's next for Runaway June?
We've been quarantined and following the guidelines. None of us are sick anymore, Jen.
Jen did come. By the way, for our audience, Jen had COVID and she came on the show and was like, and I even reached out to Jen. I was after that because I thought maybe
you're
I had.
Like, are you okay?
Yeah. So, but
you thought you had it from talking to her.
Well, I didn't know if you can get it through the cell phone, so I was like, okay, are you sure? Yeah. So you guys are you're doing what? What are you thinking about here?
We are thinking about the next record and what that's going to be like in the very near future. And we're so excited to get back in the studio. We're going to make a Christmas album and start making music and making noise as soon as possible.
Is that breaking news? Christmas album?
It is. Actually,
okay,
yeah.
We break the news here. That's right. Okay. Well,
all the juicy drama. Yeah. I wish there was drama here, but like we maybe
me
make
too.
More headlines.
I wish you were coming on bashing somebody. It's all love. It's all love. Okay.
No drama, love.
Runaway June has added Natalie Stovall, and listeners of this show know Natalie for many reasons. But Natalie, I'm so excited for you. Runaway June, or Naomi and Jen, whatever. I don't even know how to call you guys' names now. But I'm so excited for you guys. This is going to be amazing. And 95% of me is so excited for you guys.
The 5%, you're going to really miss her. I know.
I know I'm going to miss the crap out of her.
I texted you. I'm like, I'm sorry, we're stealing her.
I know.
Like, but, it's okay.
Yeah, better for her. Okay, you guys, good luck. Whenever you guys kind of get out and you want to come perform for the first time on the radio, you have come up and you guys can play on the show, all right?
Yeah,
oh,
we'll
that'd be
thank
awesome.
You.
Like a deal.
All right, there they are, Runaway June here on the Bobby Bones Show. Bye, guys.
Thanks,
bye.
Bobby.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There was a dad, he was graduating with his MBA, which is a really high degree, don't even know what it's...
It's a master's in business administration.
Thanks, Bones.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he has a 3-year-old son, but he can't have the graduation because of Corona, so his family wanted to do something awesome to surprise him. So they got a whole thing set up in the front yard, and he came out and he walked across this stage, and his 3-year-old son had a made up a little diploma and gave it to his dad, and it's pretty like woo.
Nice. My girlfriend just got her MBA.
Yeah. Did she get a stage and everything?
The biggest.
Your living room?
The biggest. That's right. But nobody gets graduations. That kind of stinks for those folks. That's why I did the commencement speech. You know, they had a bunch of famous people and me do commencement speeches. You can search for that on iHeartRadio. And because graduating seniors did not get to have, I will say this though, Mountain Pine High School, my high school, which my school is, I graduated with 60 kids roughly. They had an outdoor one where everybody pulled their cars up.
Oh, cool.
And my stepdad sent me a video of all the cars honking. They would announce the names over the speaker.
That's
and because
awesome.
There's only like 40 or 50 kids, you're talking about 60 or 70 cars.
Yeah.
Maybe 100 cars, but all pulled into the parking lot. And they would, over the big speaker, they'd be like, Joanna Thompson, honk, 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 honk. It was great. That was at my high school. It was so cool. That's a great story, Lunchbox. Thank you. And that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Raymundo, our audio producer, said he had a story about the calories burned while cleaning your house, all the individual things. Right, Ray?
Yeah, and all these for about 20 minutes whenever you're doing these particular activities in your house, getting it all, I guess, cleaned up since everybody's been just sitting around their houses.
All right, here we go. Give me the activity and the calories burned.
All right, vacuuming, you're going to burn 80 calories.
Okay. Amy, how you feel about that?
Yeah. Feel pretty good. I mean, how long are we?
20 minutes. Oh. It's all 20 minutes.
Oh, 20. Yeah, okay, got it.
All right, roll them down, Ray.
I feel good about that.
Yep, cleaning the bathroom is 100 calories. Mopping is also 100 calories. Sweeping, a little less, 60 calories. Cleaning windows, because there's a lot of reaching, going down low, 115 calories. Dusting in general. A lot. If you double it, so dusting, they have it at 40 minutes because it takes a little bit longer doing that. So 200 calories. It almost seems like you'll burn the most doing that. And then scrubbing a sink full of dishes and stacking them, 50 calories.
Dang, you think that would be more? I hate doing dishes. This is the worst chore. And by me saying I hate doing them, I don't do them. I put them in the dishwasher.
How dishes get done?
I put them in the dishwasher. Oh. And then I push the button, and that's it. And sometimes they come out with stuff still on them. And if they do, I take a fork to it, and then I put it back in there. I hate doing the dishes. I hate the dishes more than I do the laundry. I don't mind the laundry. I hate the dishes. We had a good show today. Morgan, number two, is standing by to tell us what you can hear on the podcast. Morgan, what's going on over there?
Well, we finally found out what's going to happen with you and your girlfriend post-coronavirus.
That's true. And we had some big guests on today, right?
Yeah, Jason Alexander was on the show and talked about many of his TV and movie projects.
Okay. And?
And then Runaway June was on and made a really huge announcement with us.
There you go. Anything else you want to share?
We also did a game where Amy had to guess where the country artist went to school.
All right, there you go. Also, I updated everyone on my going to the neurologist. That was a thing, so you can check that on the podcast too. All right, we're done. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great show. Goodbye, everybody. Yes, Bobby Bones.